Carolinas are being swamped by these heavy rains and high winds from Hurricane Florence.
The best scientists in the world are all telling us that our activities are changing the climate.
I don't think it's a hoax. I think there's probably a difference, but I don't know that it's man-made.
Experts say that we have until 2030 to avoid catastrophe.
This extraordinary fire season has a lot of us remembering that wherever you live in the Southern California area, it can happen to you. And it's a great idea to be prepared. One of the places where they are prepared is Topanga Canyon. Now, Topanga Canyon Boulevard was closed for the first time this year just because of anticipated high winds. Many of the people there, though, are prepared for all of that. They have been organizing to the point of super readiness. That's according to Scott Ferguson, who's board chair of TCEP, the Topanga Coalition for Emergency Preparedness.
Hi, thank you very much.
What does it mean? How important is it that Topanga was closed for the first time just because of a wind advisory?
I think that was indicative of how the agencies here are learning each time we have a big fire, and they're understanding the unique challenges in a place like Topanga, where there's basically one main road in and out for about 11,000 people. So the idea that we're currently under voluntary evacuation due to the Getty fire, the idea of just trying to limit the traffic on that boulevard, so if we were in a position where they had to evacuate the canyon, the idea is that there'd be maybe a little bit less traffic flowing on that road, and it'd be easier to get people out. So it's a good idea, and the community is solidly behind it.
So it's the main road in and out for 11,000 people, but it's also used for people who transition from the valley down to PCH. Those are the people you're trying to keep out at the moment.
Yes, it's a main thoroughfare. There's probably 14 or 15,000 cars that move through here every morning and every afternoon. Gets pretty socked in sometimes. So that's the idea. So it's open, currently it's open to residents only, so that allows us, those of us who live here, to move about freely, but cuts down on the rest of the traffic.
Of course, everybody else has to go someplace else. So who actually makes that call? Who makes the decision to close it down?
Those kinds of decisions are made with the cooperation between LA County Fire Department and LA County Sheriff's Department. The sheriff is generally the one that is involved in roadblocks and making decisions on the actual evacuation orders, and they do that with input from LA County Fire.
All right, this is in the midst of a big red flag event, and Topanga's right in the center of that. What does that mean for your organization, the Topanga Coalition for Emergency Preparedness? When you go on high alert, what are people doing?
Well, we have a number of people that sort of get to their stations, so to speak. In a situation like this, we are very much focused on communications. Our mission as an organization is twofold. I mean, in normal blue sky conditions, which thankfully is most of the time, we're just working on emergency preparedness education and trying to get people prepared for this kind of an event. But when we've got sort of active events going and we're on alert, or in our case, we consider that being either partially or fully activated, that's the terminology we use, we're in communications mode. So our mission at that point is to gather information, verify it, make sure it's accurate, and then push it out to the public through our website at tcep.org/emergency-status, and over Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at tcep90290. And we have a hotline, a telephone hotline. We record a message on that reflects what is on the website, so people can call 310-455-3000 to hear a recorded message of the latest update. And we're just really busy going through various channels trying to gather whatever information, updated information we can. And our whole focus on that is not, we're not trying to be the fastest in the world. We're not trying to get things out as quickly as possible. Well, we're trying to do it as quickly as possible, but the idea is to make sure that what we put out is accurate. We want to verify it with the authorities first. So we have inside channels, inside communication channels with LA County Fire and Sheriff and other agencies, and we can talk to them and get information and then filter it and put it out to the public.
You talked about stations for an all-volunteer organization. What do these volunteers do? What stations do they go to?
We essentially operate under the ICS system, the same kind of system that the fire department and other first responders use, called Incident Command System, ICS, so that there are various people doing various things. So we would have a PIO, we'd have somebody doing operations, we have an emergency operations center. We actually have an emergency operations center, a physical building in Topanga that we can go to when we're fully activated, so everybody is working in the same space and sharing information and making sure that we have sort of one version of the truth, so to speak, as we put out information. So we've all got kind of our unique capabilities here. Like, personally, I'm responsible for all of the social media part of it, so I'm pushing these our updates out on Twitter, sometimes on Facebook. I'm monitoring nextdoor.com and seeing what the community is talking about so that I can keep my finger on the pulse of what people are concerned about and what's being said, and sometimes jumping into that to correct incorrect information. So and other people are more tuned in to the actual fire department command post. Generally, we would send at least one representative to the command post, where we're right embedded with the first responders, so we get firsthand knowledge of what's going on.
Topanga is a remote kind of place to live. People don't live there because they want to live in a big city. How often do you get people, when you come around, who say, "Oh, leave me alone, I'm fine, I don't want to get involved with this"? How do you get them worked up?
Well, that's always a problem. I mean, you have we have people coming from the flatlands, from urban areas, and they move here, and oftentimes it takes a little while for them to realize that it's not the same thing as living in the middle of Santa Monica. You've got just a few more responsibilities that you wouldn't have in the city, just from a preparation standpoint. And I found just from being around the canyon and talking to people a lot, that the attitudes about that are definitely changing. People are understanding now more and more how serious this can be and how dangerous it can be to live in the wildland-urban interface, or in our case, it's the wildland-urban intermix, two different terms, both WUI, both WUI. And they're starting to get the idea that it's not like it used to be. You know, those of us who've lived here a long time, I've lived here for 30 years, and there's always been the threat of fire in the mountains, but it's never been as acute as it is now for the last few years. With climate change, the extended droughts, everything is bigger, faster, and more virulent. You know, that just this red flag condition we're in is a perfect example of that. This is just, they're calling this extreme red flag, with winds that they just haven't seen in decades. So fires are bigger, faster, and more erratic, and people are starting to understand that, and they're getting more prepared.
How important is it for people to know their neighbors, particularly in a place where people keep animals, where old people might be, you know, up on the third floor or something, and people might be away at work? Are you set up in such a way that you can supply help under those circumstances?
Yeah, that's extremely important in a place like Topanga. I mean, it's important everywhere, but particularly here. And TSEP has a program called Neighborhood Network, and we help the various small clusters of neighbors organize so that they can share their information, they can share contact information, so they can kind of get to know each other. We encourage them to have a meeting at least once a year, so they get together and just sort of keep up with who's in the neighborhood, who may be elderly and might need help evacuating, who has pets and who has children, and just situations where you could then help out in the event of something bad happening. And that's we're trying to build that out more and more, because it's very important to come together as a community whenever you face a disaster like this. Nobody wants to feel like they're doing it alone, and that's particularly true. That's true for fires, but it's particularly true for earthquakes.
Obviously, you have a lot of issues to deal with, as we all do, but circumstances for you are somewhat different. What do you say to people who say, look, particularly now as things are getting more and more intense, maybe people ought not to live in the wildland urban intermix, as you call it?
Well, yeah, I guess in an ideal world, the only reason these wildfires are a huge problem is because there's homes nearby and there's people's lives at stake because we live here. If nobody lived here, you know, the wild lands have always burned, and usually not from man-made causes, but they've always burned, part of the ecosystem, you know. But it's a problem because people live here. I don't think you're going to get people to move out anytime soon. It's most of the time it's bucolic and beautiful and really a lovely place to be. It's really a matter of being prepared for what could happen, and it's like having insurance. You just need extra insurance, and I don't mean the kind you buy from a carrier, but the insurance of being prepared so that if something happens, you can save your life at least, you know, and hopefully your home too, because there's things you can do to harden your home against fires and give it a much better chance of surviving one of these things.
I think it's very important to point out that all the people that you are involved with in TCEP are volunteers. Out of the 11,000 people who live in Topanga, roughly how many of them do you think have volunteered for this kind of duty?
Not very many, but we have, Topanga is sort of, is unique. We have a very robust volunteer community here. We have, TCEP is one organization, sort of an umbrella, a coalition is part of our name, and so the coalition organizations include Arson Watch, the North Topanga Canyon Fire Safe Council, Topanga Animal Rescue, and Topanga Town Council, and Topanga CERT. So all of those organizations are fully volunteer and staffed with mostly with Topanga residents, and they're very active in helping the community. So it's we're told all the time by LA County Fire that we're different than most other communities in how much we are organized and how involved the community is in the organizations and the preparation and all of this emergency stuff. It's we're sort of a model.
You've been there for 30 years. You say that people are learning more and more how different conditions are. What did you learn from last year's Woolsey fire? That was pretty devastating.
Yeah, that was the one that I think really woke up a lot of people around here, including the fire department. I've had conversations with veteran firefighters who were just aghast at what was going on. I mean, they were surprised. They couldn't believe how fast that fire was moving and how erratic it was. So it was sort of a new paradigm even for the professionals. And the fact that, you know, from a standpoint of Topanga was fully evacuated for 8 days during that fire, even though the fire never reached Topanga Canyon. It stayed over in Malibu. And that 8-day evacuation really got people to kind of stand up and take notice. That was kind of another idea about this new paradigm of how things are going to work, and at how the LA County Fire Department tries to get out in front of saving lives. And they'll be getting very aggressive about evacuations in order to prevent the kinds of tragedies that we saw up north in Paradise in the Camp Fire, for instance. Their fear is to having thousands of people on the roads just clogged up and not being able to get out of these canyons. So their plan, I'm sure, is to get us out as early as possible. And sometimes people look at that and they're a little upset about that. They think, and they're in their own little non-professional way, that they're not under a threat, and they may not be under an immediate threat, but the whole point of these fires now and how fast they move is that if you wait until you can see the flames, that's too late. anymore. You know, you just don't have the time. You can't outrun these things anymore. So they're trying to get way out in front of it, get people out early, and that's sometimes an inconvenience. But from my standpoint, I'd rather be alive and inconvenienced.
Have you had instances where the power company has turned off the power? And if so, what does that do to your notification system?
So far, we have not experienced a public safety power shutoff by Southern California Edison. TSEP is, as one of the emergency agencies in the area, we're on Edison's early notification list with other government agencies, even though we're a non-government organization. So we get notification of the watch list and the areas and circuits that Edison is thinking about turning off. So far that hasn't hit Topanga, but that's one of the issues that we have been very active in making sure that both the utilities and government agencies and the CPUC understand that in Topanga, every part of our communications infrastructure depends on electricity, and that includes cell phones. And for people who live in urban areas, they don't think about cell phones because their cell phones pick up signals from cell towers, which have generator backup. So if the power goes out, your cell phone's still going to work. In Topanga, that's not the case. We don't have any cell towers. We don't have any backup to the cell system. So everything goes out. Internet, TV, phones. Most people have digital VoIP phones now, which also require electricity. So it's a big, big problem because you just imagine the worst case scenario is a wind condition like we have now, where the winds are really howling. It's the middle of the night. Edison shuts the power off. Now nobody can get notifications. Nobody can get awakened by their phone or any of the alert systems, and they could be sleeping right through a fire. It's the same thing that happened in 2017 up on the Tubbs fire up in Northern California and the wine country. That happened in the middle of the night, and some people were being awakened by the smoke detectors going off in their house because the fire was that close.
Based on what you've experienced in Topanga, do you think that people who don't necessarily live in the wildland urban intermix, such as you do, ought to be concerned about some of these same things?
Yeah, it affects everybody, and particularly people who live nearby. So I'd use the example of that Tubbs fire, for instance. The people who lived in the Coffee Park area of Santa Rosa, nice, small, flat urban development, not in the wildland urban intermix, just close to it. You know, the mountains were a couple miles away. And the embers from that wind-driven fire blew all the way into their neighborhood and burned it down. That would be something that probably nobody ever thought would happen. So we have certainly in the greater Los Angeles area, we have a lot of communities that are close to the mountains. So from a fire standpoint, yeah, you should be thinking about that. And certainly everybody in this area should be thinking of and preparing for earthquakes, because that affects everyone.
This is part of our climate change update, though, and I want to ask you this. A lot of people are still in denial about that. Are you a believer?
In climate change?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. All you have to do is just look around. Again, living here for 30 years, I can see how things have changed. I can see how, just from the standpoint, look at just red flag, for instance, the standpoint of number of red flag days now versus what it was 10, 15 years ago. Back then, you might have 7 red flag days on the course of the quote-unquote fire season, which traditionally ran from like October into January. Now we have 30, 40 or more of them, and we sometimes get them in March. There's no longer a fire season. You talk to the LA County fire experts, and they'll basically say the idea of a fire season is pretty much out the window. It's all year round now. And not only are there more red flag days, but they last longer. So last year we had red flag conditions at one point that lasted for 15 straight days. That's never happened. So you can't tell me that the climate hasn't changed.
Okay, well, I hope people around the area are listening to you and taking heed of what you are saying. In the meantime, to you in the Topanga Canyon area, where you run the Topanga Coalition for Emergency Preparedness, that's TCEP, it's very nice to have you on our program, Scott, and thanks for joining us.
Sure, anytime. Thank you.
This To The Point Climate Change Update was produced by Andrea Brody with theme music from Chris Watherspoon. Our engineer is Chuck Prevetary. I'm Warren Olney. Check out all of our To The Point podcasts on your favorite podcasting app. On Twitter, I'm at WarrenOlney1. The show is tothepoint_KCRW. You can email us, too, of course. Email me directly at warren.olney@kcrw.com. Thanks for listening.